May the Lord help us to begin this service with prayer. Kind and gracious and eternal Lord God, we do thank thee for the mercies that bring us safely together this evening. And Lord, we pray thy great blessing to be upon us here. Lord, we pray particularly for dear Paul and Karen, Lord, as they are to pass through those waters of believers' baptism during this service. We do pray thy blessing on them and each that are gathered, and each, Lord, that perhaps are able to listen online. We do pray for them where they are, that thou wilt bless them, and thy blessing might rest upon us. Lord, we do pray then for thy help in all that needs to be done. Help us to do it unto the Lord, and bless each one, Lord. And we do pray for our pastor at this time, where he is in hospital. We do pray that thou wilt be with him and be very near to him, as he would have loved to have been with us. Lord, do go before him and bless him, and Lord, care for him in all that lies before him. Bless us, Lord, then we pray, and go before us in each part of this service, and may there be the gathering of the people today, may be unto the Lord. We thank thee for this time. Do us good, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen.
Dear friends, we're favoured to come together and join in worship for this baptismal service. May the Lord's gracious presence be felt and known in our midst this evening. We'll read the hymns this evening, and the first one has been chosen by Paul. It's been a blessing to him, and the number is 96. Hymn number 96. Now I have found the ground wherein my anchor, hope, shall firm remain. The wounds of Jesus for my sin before the world's foundation slain, whose mercy shall unshaken stay when heaven and earth are fled away. O grace, thou bottomless abyss, my sins are swallowed up in thee. Covered is my unrighteousness. From condemnation I am free. For Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy cries. Jesus, I know, has died for me. Here is my hope, my joy, my rest. Hither, when hell assails, I flee. I look into my Saviour's breast. Away, sad doubt and anxious fear, mercy and love are written there. Though waves and storms go o'er my head, though strength and health and friends be gone, though joys be withered all undead, and every comfort be withdrawn, steadfast on this my soul relies, redeeming mercy never dies. Fixed on this ground will I remain, though my heart fail and flesh decay. This anchor shall my soul sustain when earth's foundations melt away. Mercy's full power I then shall prove, loved with an everlasting love. Hymn 96.
Let us read together from the Word of God two portions. The first you will find in Isaiah chapter 53 and then in Acts chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 53. This is a chapter that has been made a great blessing to Paul in his university days. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now we want to turn to the New Testament, to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8. Here we have the account where Philip joins that eunuch that is reading from Isaiah 53. Acts chapter 8, and commencing to read at verse 26. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8, and commencing to read at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless those portions of his holy word, and help us now to draw nigh to God in prayer. Kind and gracious and eternal Lord God, we do pray, Lord, for thy presence and thy blessing for this evening as we gather together around thy word. And Lord, we pray for thy blessing to rest upon us each as we gather here. Leave none empty of that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but enable us, Lord, to concentrate and think about those things which are eternal. Lord, we've read those precious scriptures, that which prophesied of what Christ would accomplish at Calvary. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us with believing views. Lord, we thank thee that as we come together at this time, Lord, it is to acknowledge that thou hast made thyself precious to dear Paul and to dear Karen. And Lord, thou hast applied scriptures, many scriptures to them. And Lord, thou hast made them precious personally to them. And Lord, how we need that in each of our hearts. We need the word of God to come precious to us each as individuals. For we each have never dying souls. We each need to be right and ready for eternity. We each need that one to stand, Lord, in our place, because we are sinners. O Lord, we do thank thee then for thy mercies, thy presence and thy grace. Keep us, Lord, in thy tender fear. Enable us, Lord, to think upon thy great name. For, Lord, truly thy great name is to be exalted. Lord, we do pray for thy help, Lord, as we come to this service. Lord, thou knowest the situation that we find ourselves in. And, Lord, we do thank thee that, Lord, in this lockdown period, Lord, that thou hast still been gracious in feeding thy people. Thou hast blessed dear Paul and Karen, Lord, at the beginning of the lockdown and through the lockdown. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness to them and to us here as a church and people meeting at Red Hill. We would, Lord, thank thee and acknowledge thy goodness to us, and Lord, thy goodness to them. And Lord, we would seek, as we gather around thy word tonight, to honour and glorify thee. We do pray for our pastor, as he's not able to be here, a service that he would have loved to have been with us, Lord, to be able to praise thy name and to lead the service. Lord, that thy ways are higher than our ways, and thy thoughts than our thoughts. Do be with him where he is. And Lord, strengthen him, and Lord, restore him if it could please thee, and give wisdom to those that deal with him, that he might be able to be restored. And Lord, we also think of the many, many people that would have loved to have been here tonight. Lord, Paul and Karen have many friends and family, Lord, which no doubt would have loved to have gathered here. Lord, for this occasion, to exhort a precious Christ, to lift up thy name, with joyful song. And Lord, we're not allowed to sing at this time. But Lord, we pray that true praise may go up in each of our hearts unto God. Though we are not able to sing, may we truly praise thee. May we worship thee in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we pray for those then that are not able to be here. But Lord, we pray that many of those will be able to listen over the internet, to grant that ability for the internet to work. Lord, thou knowest it doesn't always. But Lord, we pray that it may work if it could please thee. And Lord, that there may be that transmission for thy honour and for thy glory. And Lord, we do pray thy blessing then. And Lord, we pray that thou would remember each that are here and each that are listening. Lord, maybe there are many, Lord, that would love to take such a step themselves. Lord, Paul and Karen have been there for many years, really, desiring that this could be their path. And yet they have not felt able until now. But Lord, we pray for such, Lord, that thou wilt truly encourage them and truly, Lord, help them to be able to go in the strength of the Lord God, to make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. And Lord, Jesus is a humble way. And Lord, Paul and Karen have spoken of those things. Lord, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for that true repentance. Jesus gives us true repentance. And Lord, we thank thee for that repentance and that faith toward God. And Lord, we pray then that they may Lord, we thank thee that thou hast given them that help, Lord, and that desire to follow thee in obedience to thy commands. And Lord, we pray then that thou bless thy church with that obedience. Lord, for those that truly have, can truly say that Jesus is their only hope, that as the eunuch was able to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. O Lord, we do pray then that there may be that faith given. For Lord, without faith it is impossible to please God. We need living faith. Lord, give us living faith, we pray this day. And Lord, may we, Lord, know thy blessing and thy favour in our lives. And may we live to thee. Bless each then that have gathered, and those that are able to gather over the internet. Be with each one where they are. And Lord, we pray that there may be worship going up in the hearts of many. Lord, for truly how many have prayed for this day, for many years, perhaps some for all their lives, for all the lives of Paul and Karen. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that there has been this day. Lord, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we pray then for thy blessing. We thank thee that we are able once again to meet in a house of prayer. We're able to physically meet. We thank thee for that great blessing. And as we have met, Lord, let the song to Jesus flow. Lord, go before us then, we pray. And help us through all the parts of this service, that all may be done to thy honour and to thy glory. And Lord, that it might be a day, Lord, much to be remembered, but Lord, a day when many can say, the Lord bless me there. O Lord, it is a glorious gospel. It is a glorious gospel. O Lord, it will be the subject of a never-ending eternity of praise of thy people unto him that loved us and washed us in his blood. Lord, help us to begin below something of that song of the redeemed, unto him that loved us and washed us in his blood. Bless each that are here then. Be with Brother James, Lord, as he is to take Paul and Karen through those waters of believer's baptism. Do be with him and bless him. And Lord, help us, Lord, to truly be those labourers together. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies towards us. And Lord, do go before each one, then we pray. And Lord, bless thy one church. Build it up, we pray. And Lord, and though, Lord, we have come through a difficult time, when many churches have been closed, yet thou hast still, Lord, visited thy people, and we would thank thee for that. For thou, within no walls confined, inhabitest the humble mind. Lord, we thank thee for that. Bless each one then, and bless those ministers, Lord, that have been, Lord, used to, Lord, in the lives of Paul and Karen. Lord, and each one that has had an influence. Some have now passed on to glory, but they have had an influence, and it will not be forgotten. Lord, do then help us to think in of those things which are eternal, those things which cannot pass away. We're living in time, and time is passing away. Help us, Lord, to prepare for eternity. And may there, Lord, this be a warning to any, Lord, that are careless. Lord, that ye must be born again. There is, Lord, true conversion, and there needs to be true conversion. A turning away from our old ways, a turning away from trusting in ourselves, and a looking unto Jesus. Bless us then, we pray. Forgive our many sins then. Help us through this service. For Christ's sake, amen.
We continue in worship in reading our second hymn. This was chosen by Karen. Hymn 158. Hymn 158. 158. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. Life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend, may I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood. Precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. Truly blessed is this station, lo, before his cross to lie, while I see divine compassion floating in his languid eye. Here it is I find my heaven, while upon the Lamb I gaze. Love I much, I'm much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Love and grief my heart dividing, with my tears his feet I'll bathe. Constant still, in faith abiding, life deriving from his death. May I still enjoy this feeling, in all need to Jesus go. Prove his wounds each day more healing, and himself more deeply know. Hymn 158.
The Lord may graciously help me. I turn your prayerful attention to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8 and reading together verse 35. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. And preached unto him Jesus. The eunuch had been reading in Isaiah 53, and he asked the question of whom speaketh a prophet, of himself or of some other man? And Philip was able to speak of the fact that Isaiah 53, though written 700 years before the Lord Jesus came, was written about the Lord Jesus and what he would do. And that, so as the Lord helps me, I would love to seek to preach on the Lord Jesus. We're told in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, that thou shalt call his name Jesus. This is what the angel told Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is what the name Jesus means. And we've come here tonight to remember the work of God in the lives of dear Karen and dear Paul, and how the Lord has taught them about the Lord Jesus and why he is precious. See, if I take this, one of the quotes from Karen's testimony, she said, I felt as though I wanted to spend my life serving him. But I can see now that throughout it all, there was a lot of myself in it. I thought that the Lord would be pleased with me. I didn't see myself as a lost, ruined, guilty sinner, as I do now. You see, Jesus is precious to sinners. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Paul and Karen were both favored to be brought up in Christian families that taught them of the things of God and brought them to the house of God. And yet they needed salvation, just as we all need. All we like sheep have gone astray, we read in Isaiah 53. And that includes you and me. It includes all of us. There is none of us that have been brought up in such a family so that we don't need salvation. We need salvation because we're sinners. And there can be this idea, you see, that it was put into the heart of Karen, that she wanted to serve the Lord. And yet there can be this idea that we've got something to give to the Lord and the Lord will be really pleased with us. But we've got to realize that we desperately need salvation. It is not that God needs us. We need salvation. We are sinners that are heading for a lost eternity. We cannot think one thought aright. Another thing that was quite precious in Karen's testimony, a little word that her grandfather spoke to her, sin is mixed with all we do. Sin is mixed with all we do. You see, you younger ones, and you may not think, well, is that really true? It's not true. I remember when I was young, I was sitting in the pew here, and the minister would say, Lord, forgive me for all that's been amiss in the Lord's sight during the service. I thought, well, I didn't see him do anything wrong. But you see, sin is mixed with all we do. We need the Lord to show us. We need the Lord to teach us that we're sinners. And the Lord has done this for Paul and Karen. And it's a humbling experience. Because you see, we like to be like Saul of Tarsus was, pleased with our service of God. And Saul of Tarsus was, he thought he really did please God in the way he was acting. And persecuting the church in his view was being a good servant of God. But he was wrong. And he thought he was gaining salvation or gaining God's favor by all that he was doing. And he needed to realize that he needed salvation himself. And you see, this is the great thing in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, really, it is a chapter that is written with those that are looking back at what happened at Calvary. Though it was written 700 years before Calvary took place, it's written that those are looking back at Calvary and considering what was going on. What do we have here? The eunuch was asking, who is he speaking of? What's happening here? Well, you see, it starts off with the humility of Christ. Who hath believed our report? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. No form nor comeliness that we should desire. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Christ, the Lord Jesus, is not precious to us unless the Lord has touched our eyes. But the Lord is able to do this. And having said that, the Lord can make himself precious to young people who don't understand all these things. And the Lord can still show them that there's something precious in the things of God. That was shown to both Karen and Paul in their very early days. They had a love for God's people. They couldn't explain it. They didn't feel that they had it themselves. They could see there's something that the people of God had that they didn't have. And they wanted it. And they desired it. But you see, as the Lord has led them on, that they've come to realize their great need, you see, of salvation. He is despised, we read, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't think much. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? They didn't see the value of Christ. These are looking back and saying, well, he didn't mean anything to us. This man of sorrows, we didn't need him. Saul of Tarsus, you see, he didn't need a suffering saviour because he had his own righteousness. He had his own righteousness. He kept the law, blameless in his opinion. But you see, when he realised that his so-called keeping of the law fell short, he needed somebody then to stand in his place. But you see, as it goes on in this precious account, we hear, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. If Jesus Christ is being ridiculed, we can look the other way, dissociate ourselves from him, think something else must have gone badly wrong. And interestingly, you see in verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And it's interesting, if you look at the cross-reference in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 17, and 16 and 17, we have this in Jesus' life when he was, this is Matthew 8 verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So it seems that clearly this verse 4 is particularly referring to Jesus's acts of kindness and healing that he did when he was on this earth. He did so much for the people. And yet when he was tried and put before Pontius Pilate, the crowds were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. There's this term here, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. We saw him hanging on a tree and we concluded that cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, and therefore we don't understand it, but this one's cursed of God. This man's cursed of God. If he was the Son of God, God would appear for him. But you see, there's a great turning point in this chapter of Isaiah 53. And I believe it's in that word, but, in verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is the great turning point. Yes, he was smitten of God. Yes, he was afflicted. But why? On whose behalf? For what cause? Well, Job's friend said, well, there must be some sin in this man. You must have done some secret sin. God wouldn't do this to an innocent person. If God was really your God, he would appear for you. You wouldn't stay like that, Job. Job, that type of Christ, of the one who was truly, totally innocent, and yet totally smitten of God and afflicted. And it was all because of what he was doing for others. All for his church, all out of love to his people. And that's a tremendous thing to grasp hold of. And I believe Paul and Karen, as they've, in their testimonies and in the lovely hymns that we've been able to sing, that there's a sense of, you see, a personal interest. And Paul mentions in that university room as he was reading through Isaiah 53, it felt like their words were for him. They were personal. And they need to be applied, you see. But he was wounded for our transgressions. It's personal. And this is so important in our lives, that the Lord Jesus needs to show us that we are sinners and that we need a Saviour. We need this forgiveness. We need one to stand in our place. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Yes, there's those that are brought up in Christian households and those that are brought up with no Christianity at all. But all we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, we carry on in different ways, but we're all going away from God. We're all walking in pride in different ways. But you see, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, one of the hymns that was Paul quoted in his testimony, we claim no merit of our own, but self-condemned before thy throne, our hopes on Jesus' place. In heart, in lip, in life depraved, our theme shall be a sinner saved and praise redeeming grace. You see, this is preaching unto them Jesus, this one that gives hope for sinners, those that have come to the end of their own righteousness. Yes, it is a true desire to seek to serve the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to do, but we don't do it to gain salvation. We are totally his debtor always, a debtor to mercy alone, and we never get anything other than debtors. We're debtors to his, we live upon the bounty of God, and then if we give the rest of our lives in service to God, we are but unprofitable servants. We've done but what it was our duty to do, because he's done so much more for us. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, he was taken from prison and from, what's quoted in where the eunuch was reading, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Here's the sufferings of Christ and his silence, his humility, his obedience, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When he was reviled, we read in Peter, he reviled not again. And when he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed his cause to his Father. They laughed at him and they said, if you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross. He was the Son of God, but he had a work to accomplish, and he had a work to accomplish that we hell deserving sinners might have a great salvation. So there was so much to thank the Lord for in all that he has done. He has made a way. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? So there was an idea here, you see, that Jesus was falsely accused. He was innocent, and yet he was accused. But you see, he had taken the sin of his entire church upon himself. And then when he was accused, you see, of being guilty as the substitute, he was carrying the sin of the entire church, all their pride, all their lust, all their vengeance, all their sin, all heaped upon the holy, harmless Lamb of God. And he took it in obedience to his Father, in love to his Father, in love to his people. And there you see, that's why there's a response in us to love him in return. We've been singing of that in that hymn that we've just sung, Rich the Moments, Sweet the Moments, Rich in Blessing. You see, in that last verse, it picks that up. Love and grief, my heart dividing. You see, love for him and grief for sin. Love to seek to serve him the rest of our lives, but grief that we come short. Grief that sin is mixed with all that we do. Love and grief, my heart divided. With my tears, his feet are bathed. Constant still in faith abiding. Love, life deriving from his death. That's why the death of the Lord Jesus is so precious to his people. Because in his death, they see their life. They see that's what they should have done. They should have died. You see, of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense of the sufferings of Christ, but he endured it before his entire church so that they might never have to go to hell. So that they might never be left to be shut out of heaven. So this is the great, and he preached unto him Jesus. This is the great theme that Philip was able to preach about, this one. And you see, this preaching of Jesus had an effect. Had an effect on the eunuch. This man who was of great authority. He had all the treasures in charge of the treasures of the queen of Ethiopia. He was a well-to-do man. But you see, this shows how the Lord Jesus in his presence and knowing his love was more important to this eunuch than all the treasures. It's like Moses. Karen mentioned it in her testimony, that lovely word in Hebrews regarding Moses. Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's what Moses did. That's what the eunuch did here. There was something more important than the treasure. He wanted to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And in their experiences, Paul and Karen have been able to say that knowing the Lord Jesus and the blessing of that has been a greater privilege than anything else. And Paul was due to have that great privilege in earthly terms of that OBE. But you see, he's tasted of something sweeter yet. And you see, the Lord is able to take the sweetest things on earth and show that they pale into insignificance compared to the knowledge of Christ. You see, all the things here below, however good in their place, are passing away. But to have a hope beyond the grave in what Christ has done has eternal effect. And you see, solid joys and lasting pleasures none but Zion's children know. Well, this eunuch travelling with Philip, as Philip was preaching Jesus to him, he says this, on their way they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we call it believers' baptism. It is for believers. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you see, this that little comment that Karen said she walked in really for 10 years. Sin is mixed with all we do. But there was another part of that. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And that's the other side of it, you see. The Lord Jesus does not just show us our sin. Satan will quite sometimes Satan will be happy to show us our sin if he can drive us into misery. But you see, Christ shows us our sin to bring us to repentance and to lead us to forgiveness. You see, we have a merciful God. This is the nature of God. He is merciful. He is holy, but he is merciful. And you see, we need to come with repentance. And Paul and Karen have had that God-given repentance and sorrow for sin. And they have obtained mercy. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. For many years, Karen could not be able to say that. But then she felt she could. And what a blessing that is. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. A sinner saved by grace. This is the gospel of the grace of God. It is for sinners. Saul of Tarsus, in his unregeneracy, he didn't need a substitute. He could stand before God in his own righteousness. See, Romans 10 says this, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's us by nature. That's us in a religious sense. But you see, it goes on and says, in verse 10 of chapter 10 of Romans, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there is that way. Well, on the confession of the eunuch's faith, Philip then and the eunuch went down into the waters. And Philip baptized him on the profession of his faith. And that is what we seek to do this evening, as dear James is able to take them through the waters. Let us just have a moment to think of what this baptismal service means. Well, firstly, the baptismal pool, it's showing obedience. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized. It's obedience. We don't believe that going through the waters of baptism is saving in itself. We believe it's an outward manifestation of what the Lord has done internally in our hearts. And then out of love and obedience, we follow him in what he has done and what he would have us to do. It's not an it's not the rich, the poor. It's the same ordinance to go through those waters in obedience to what God has said. And dear Paul and Karen have been brought to that place of obedience and to follow the Lord. But so firstly, it speaks of obedience, but then it speaks of forgiveness. As they go down into the water and are totally submerged under the water just for a moment of time, there's this need of total cleansing. You see, Karen says, sin is mixed with all we do, and therefore we need to be totally washed. We need to be cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So it pictures cleansing, the washing of water, cleansing us from all our own so-called works of righteousness. to serve the living God. Well, also, baptism also speaks of it's picturing the grave. Jesus went down into the grave and then he rose again. And we are to have union with Christ. And so we are to go in, to follow him down, as it were, and to rise with newness of life. It pictures the dying to self, living for your own ego, for your own ends, for satisfying your own desires. It's not just living to ourselves. Now we have a new master. We have a new definition of happiness. Happiness, thou lovely name. Where's thy seat, O tell me where? Learning, pleasure, health, wealth and fame. All cry out, it is not here. It's something else you've got to be following now. Object of my first desire. Jesus, crucified for me. All to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Everything is centered around Christ. And if we have him, we have everything. If we don't have him, we have nothing. Dying to self, no longer living to ourselves, but then rising out of the water to walk in newness of life. Karen said how much she desired to serve him. Well, it's a wonderful thing for one that's come to the end of their own righteousness, and then to be clothed with Christ's righteousness, then to seek to serve this one, not to gain favor, but out of love for what he has done for us. It's a wonderful thing to serve, but not so that God will be impressed with us. To serve him because he is worthy of our eternal praise. So, a dying to self and a rising again in newness of life. And fourthly, it's an identification. The Lord has blessed you in your souls, Paul and Karen. But there comes a time when you need to declare openly to the world around you, this is my beloved, and this is my friend, and I follow him. He went through these waters in Jordan. I will follow him. I will obey him. I will go where he tells me to go. I will do what he wants me to do as the Lord gives me grace. He is my Lord and my Master, a follower of Christ. So as we go down into the waters, Christ himself was baptized. Not in his case because he needed washing, but he did it to fulfill all righteousness. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, even in going through the waters of believers' baptism. And so may we this night, as we are here to witness, and those that are perhaps able to listen online, to witness what the Lord has done for you, dear Karen and Paul, and to glorify God, and that others may see this is the way to true happiness. The world would have a different formula for happiness, but solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's people know. You see, this is the way to real joy. Oh, the world would say, it kills joy, it kills all the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. But you see, Christ becomes precious to his people in his beautiful, unselfish humility. He was so unselfish, was Christ. He laid down his life a ransom for many. He was so humble. And there's something very beautiful to the eye of faith of the Lord Jesus. In every office he sustains, in every victory he gains, in every counsel of his will, he's precious to his people still. And dear Paul and Karen are declaring tonight that Jesus is precious. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Let us continue in worship in reading hymn 427, 427. Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man, ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days? Ashamed of Jesus soon afar, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds his beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon, let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain. Till then, I boast a Saviour slain. O may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. His institutions would I prize, take up my cross, the shame despise, dare to defend his noble cause, and yield obedience to his laws. Hymn 427.
Well, it's my privilege now to read to you what Paul and Karen have written as their testimony. They gave their testimony here to the church earlier this week, so some will have heard much of this already, but they have prepared for me also the key points to be read before you this evening. And so I would just say a couple of things in reading a testimony. First of all, testimonies are for the glory of God. They speak of necessity about two individuals, about Paul and Karen. But they are a testimony of God's grace, of God's work, God's power. And so they are recorded for his glory. And we read it in that spirit. Let me also say as well that every testimony is different. Every believer, every Christian in this room and in the world will have a testimony, something to say of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them and means to them, but it will be different. There will be a common theme. There will always be speaking of repentance. There will always be a speaking of trusting and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the way the Lord works, the timing, the circumstances are different for every single person. And so in hearing these testimonies, we do so with thankfulness to the God, be the glory. But please don't set your own standard and think that you therefore will receive all of the same experiences as they did. Well, I turn firstly to Karen's testimony. And she says, I remember when I was a little girl, I saw in the Lord's people a beauty and a peace that I wanted for myself. I knew that I needed to be right with God and longed for this to be so that I could be like them. I started to pray for this, and I thought it would be wonderful to spend my life serving the Lord, but I had a lot to learn. As I grew older, I became more aware of a struggle inside me, being torn between wanting to be a Christian and wanting to live my own sinful life. I remember clearly feeling convicted by the text, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I knew I didn't meet that standard. I did, however, start to pray for help with natural things and proved the faithfulness of God many, many times. I remember a sermon that Paul's dad preached at Bethel from "That I May Know Him," and feeling so sad that I couldn't truly say that I knew the Lord in the way that I longed to. When Lily was born, I felt what a great responsibility it was. I prayed to be brought closer to the Lord. This prayer was answered when we lost our baby boy. In the weeks before the scan, I felt the words of the hymn, "Sweet in the confidence of faith to trust his firm decrees, sweet to lie passive in his hands and know no will but his." When it came to the delivery, I felt the presence of God in the room in such a real way that I felt nothing but peace, the peace of God, which passes understanding. It felt just as though we were handing our baby to the Lord Jesus. At Christmas that year, the words of the carol were so sweet. "Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there." On the week that our baby had been due, we went to Oxford Chapel, and Paul Watts spoke about the waters of Marah and how the Lord had made them sweet. I really felt that it had been so for us. Soon after, my granddad was becoming more unwell, and I started to pray that the Lord would give us a spiritual union on earth as well as a natural one. Not long before he died, Grandad said to me, "Sin is mixed with all we do, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Those words stayed with me. For 10 years I have lived in the first clause. I saw more and more that sin was mixed with all I did. But I couldn't feel any peace in the blood. Over the years, I felt many helps from the ministry at Redhill, and it gave me encouragement to keep seeking, but never gave the peace I longed for. Many times I was tempted to think that I would never find the Lord as my Saviour. Satan told me that I should give up asking, but I was never left to complete despair. I felt confused that I trusted God for so many everyday things, but that I didn't know true peace in my heart. At the beginning of last year, I felt such a longing that this year I would come to know the Lord as my Saviour. On Sunday in March, we went to Guildford for the day, and James preached about Jacob. In the morning, about Jacob's experience at Bethel, and how he knew God as one who heard and answered prayer. I felt that I had come in there. In the evening, he spoke of Jacob at Peniel and how he then really knew him as his Saviour. I felt hope that I must pray on for this blessing. In October, Pastor preached from "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Every word seemed to be for me. I looked back over my 40 years and could see how the Lord had used it to humble me and prove me. He had showed me a little of the sin that was in my heart. In the summer, I was told that I needed an operation in November. I prayed that the time would be used. The weeks that followed were such a special time of blessing. One evening, I snapped at one of the girls. Afterwards, I felt so dreadful. I went to bed in despair, feeling so full of sin. In the night, I was half asleep, still feeling so guilty, and felt as though I looked up at the foot of the cross. I had been thinking previously about Pilgrim's Progress following James's Sunday School addresses, and in my mind, my burden seemed to be taken off my shoulders, and I was singing the words of the hymn I loved. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I felt such complete peace and went back to sleep. The next night I could not sleep. As I lay, the text went round and round my head. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. I felt as though the Lord showed me all through my life, all the 40 years, and how he had been working through it all. I thought about Grandad's words and felt that I could finally know the blessing that the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. The first Sunday I managed to get to chapel, Pastor spoke from Hebrews 9 about the Ark of the Covenant. He spoke about the pot of manna that was there as a reminder of the 40 years in the wilderness and how they had been led, but that now they must look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I felt such sweetness that the dark days were finally over. I also felt such a love to the people at chapel who had been so incredibly kind and caring to us while I was unwell. In March, Pastor spoke from, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I felt such a longing to follow, but I still found it hard to speak. The next Sunday, there was so much turmoil in the world with the virus, and Pastor preached from, "This is the finger of God." I prayed that he might have mercy on us and keep us safe and use it all to teach us of himself. On Monday, Paul was out, and I was reading with the girls after breakfast, and we came to the passage about the waters of Marah, which had been so sweet previously. But I had never really noticed before the last verse. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." As I read it out loud, it completely broke me, and I knew that I had to rise and follow him. So I told Paul and the girls and my parents, and I wrote to Pastor to tell him. On the same evening, the country closed down, and we were in isolation. But wonderfully, the next day, Paul felt able to take the same step. The following 16 weeks have not always been easy, but we have both been sustained by the ministry. One week I felt so low, the devil told me that he would make sure the baptizing never happened and that he would take away all the blessing. The pastor preached from, "Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." He renewed my faith. He is faithful that promised. To God be the glory. Karen, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So I now turn to Paul's testimony. Paul writes, "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ." As I grew up, I realized that I was not right with God. I made a promise to myself that when I was 16, I would earnestly seek him. But that age came and went without any real change. I left home to go to university. I became increasingly worried about my sin especially amid all the challenges and temptations of university life. I became more and more aware of how sinful I was at the sight of God. A fellow student, seeing my distress, suggested that I read Isaiah 53. As I read it in my room, it felt as though the Lord was applying every single word in that chapter to me. And I had a glimpse, not just for the suffering of the Lord Jesus, but that it was all for me. I fell into a bit of fitful sleep. And when I woke up, it felt as though someone had almost spoken audibly in the room. Rise, thy downcast eyes, and see numbers do his throne surround. These were sinners once, like thee, but have full salvation found. On Good Friday, during that first year at university, 25 years ago, I went with Dad to South Morton. That day he preached from Looking Unto Jesus. It was then that I felt my sins forgiven and a measure of peace with God. I remember turning home so happy. A number of years later, I prayed that the Lord would appear for us on our wedding day. And Dad spoke with great power from Looking Unto Jesus. At the Red Hill anniversary, on the occasion of our 10th wedding anniversary, although in some darkness of soul at the time, my dad again preached from that same text, a reminder of the faithfulness of God despite my utter unfaithfulness. During my latter years at university, I felt as though I fell back into sin. The intervening years have felt like wilderness years, although not without glimmers of hope and encouragements along the way, too many to mention. When Lily was born, Karen had a difficult time and needed to be transferred between hospitals in an ambulance. I travelled behind, on my own, in the car. I recited Psalm 23 to myself as we drove to encourage myself. As I got to this verse, the Lord applied it with some considerable power. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Each of us, Karen, me, and the unborn baby. In 2006, we lost a little baby. It was a difficult time. Both Karen and I felt very strongly the Lord's presence in the room when the stillborn baby was born. And as just the two of us gathered around the little burial plot in Haywardsheath Cemetery. In particular, we felt the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In recent times, I have found that various things have brought me lower and lower, and to a greater knowledge of my sin, bringing me away from any confidence in the flesh. So, having struggled with sin and fear and doubt for many years, I come to lockdown, pleading that the Lord would reveal himself to me. On the 16th of March, Karen told me that she felt she needed to make an open profession. I felt very burdened. I had a glimmer of hope when, having said to Karen that I felt I possessed so little spiritually, the Lord seemed to whisper to me, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." And during that day, it felt as though everything in my life was coming to nothing, as various things I was involved with were closing down or cancelled. In the evening, I lay on my bed and felt as though my sins were condemning me. The words from my dad's sermon from many years ago came to me, "Speak, Lord, lest if thou be silent, I become like them that go down into the pit." On Tuesday evening, Pastor preached from Philippians 3, verse 3. He traced out those who rejoice in Christ Jesus and those who have no confidence in the flesh. I no longer had any confidence in my flesh. But that night, I saw the love of the Lord Jesus revealed to my soul as he pointed to the cross of Jesus and quoted that beautiful hymn, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad." I felt that described me. I could not deny the beauty and attraction I saw in my Jesus. At the end of the service, I was overwhelmed by the love of my Saviour, but also by the enormity of following him. I spent some time alone, just weeping, and immediately told dear Karen, wrote to Pastor and also my parents, to let them know that though still scared and fearful, I was now willing. His love unknown hath broken every barrier down. And so reads Paul's testimony. If I can just be allowed a minute, given the wonderfulness of the occasion, I was thinking about this service earlier this week and read the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. And that is the account of Peter being freed miraculously from prison. And, you know, Peter was there in the prison, bound with chains, with guards around and guards on the doors shut. And the account tells us that the angel came, touched Peter, the chains fell off his feet, and he was told to get up and follow. And Peter, we're told in verse 9 of chapter 12, he thought he saw a vision. And reminded me, we spoke the other day, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we became like them, the dream. And Peter thought he was dreaming. But he still had so many barriers in the way. There were still guards, there were still the gates. But we're told that when he got to the guards, that they were, and they came past them, somehow they were not aware of him. And then when he comes to the doors, they opened of their own accord. And Peter stands outside the prison in the street, and then he goes to the house where they're praying for him, and they can't believe it's him. They can't believe what God has done. They even leave him outside for a moment before they let him in. The point is, there were so many obstacles, so many things that stopped that release from prison, and yet God removed one by one every single obstacle. And there have been many obstacles for you over the years, and God has removed them one by one. And there have been obstacles that no one else has ever experienced in the last 4 months. But finally, here we are. And you know what Peter did when he spoke to the people when they'd let him in? And we read this, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And what a real summary, actually, of what you've just done. You've declared to these people how the Lord has brought you out of prison. And I think it would be right to acknowledge as well how wonderful it is and what a blessing it is for both of you that you are here together. Because walking alone is no easy path. And so being together tonight is a wonderful, wonderful favour, one we've all prayed for and our prayers have been answered. Would you like to come forward? Well, Karen, as Paul has told us, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we are to follow him. And so let us go together into the pool to follow him.
Karen, my dear sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, on profession of your faith in your Saviour, and before these witnesses, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Oh, the Lord says, follow me. My dear brother Paul in the Lord Jesus Christ, on profession of your faith and before these witnesses, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And shall we pray? O almighty, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in thy grace. We praise thee for thy work of salvation and for the work and power of the Spirit of God. We praise thee, Lord, for this occasion. And now we commend Paul and Karen into thy loving hands and pray that as they have witnessed of thy grace, be with them in all thy pathway ahead, as thou hast promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all of us and all who are joining with us tonight, for his glory's sake. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.